something. Chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse number 15, the verse before, on chapter 5. We'll start there, and then we'll come into chapter 6, 1 through 3, okay? Right there at the end of chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Now, what a heart that God has, that He opens the door and desires His people to seek Him. Now, how about Israel? What's their spirit? Verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord. Isn't that a great start? I love that. For He hath torn, and He will heal us. Amen. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The title tonight is, Admit That Your Fight Has Been With God. Admit that your fight has been with God. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. We need to hear from you, so we pray your touch. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Thank you for standing up. So when we lived in Nebraska, sometimes when I'm combing my hair for church, just kind of getting the last things ready, I would be combing my hair. And one time Ethan was in there and he said, Dad, why do you even comb your hair? You barely have any. I said, you know, do you want to live to see tomorrow? You know? No, I didn't say that. So Ethan has a thing about hair, I guess, because it wasn't too long later, we're at dinner with a bunch of preachers at a conference, and we're all sitting at this big table, and Ethan is sitting next to his mom, and I'm sitting next to her, and I hear Ethan lean over and whisper to his mom, Mom, who's preaching the last sermon tonight? Because it was lunch. And she said, it's that guy across the table over there. And Ethan said, is it the bald guy who has a little bit of hair on the side? She said, yeah, that's him. And she said, do you want your hair to look like that when you grow up? And he said, no way. And then Andrew leaned in and said, I do. So I think it's inevitable for Andrew, right? I don't think any of them have a lot of hope to look forward to. You know, it's funny because there are things in life that frustrates us, and sometimes it's the most silly things. This isn't in my notes at all, but think about the things that frustrate you. You know, and sometimes it's related to other things that are already happening in your life, and you could already be having a hard time with some things. Maybe you don't feel well, you're tired, you haven't slept a lot, or a bunch of other things has already happened. And then this one thing that isn't a big deal, but it just sets you off. It just pushes you over the edge. And when you look back, you think, man, that wasn't a big deal at all. But in the moment, it was such a big deal. And you just blew a gasket and you just lost it, you know. Sometimes we have struggles in life. And sometimes the fights that we have, we relate it to one of two things. Either people in our life that frustrate us. And so we relate our struggle and our fight with the people that we encounter or we deal with. And if it's not people, then sometimes it's the circumstances that we're in. And we have a variety of circumstances that we go through on a daily, weekly, monthly, and sometimes yearly basis. And if you think about the frustration, the struggle, the fight that perhaps you're feeling right now, probably it's somebody that you're struggling with. Somebody maybe close to you, one of your kids perhaps, your spouse. You might not admit it, but your spouse maybe. Maybe a neighbor, a coworker, a boss. You know, it's just a person. Or maybe it's a circumstance. Something you find that you're going through, a health issue or a financial issue, or, you know, something in the home is broken. You know, it's always at the wrong time of the, you know, it's never convenient when things break. Or you have a blowout on the road, you know, on your tire. It's never the best time. Or your AC goes out in the middle of your first summer in Phoenix or Glendale, like ours. Never convenient. Like, come on, it was 120 degrees that day. You know, and somebody told me it was better if you leave the windows up. That person was not my friend, because that's not true. It's not better. I mean, it's still miserable if you roll the windows down, but it's not better if you keep them up. We know from experience now. So we have struggles in life. We have hard things that we go through. Usually we relate it to people or we relate it to our circumstances. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes, and probably more often than we're usually willing to admit, it's not the people or the circumstances that we're fighting with. Our fight is actually with God. And that fight that we're having with God, we blame it on these circumstances or on these people. But what really is happening is our struggle is going on between us and God. And that's what's happening in Israel. They're having a conflict with God. It's between them and God. They're fighting against what God is wanting to do in them and through them. And all along the way, part of their struggle is not wanting to admit that they're actually fighting with God. Deferring and pointing and going to other sources, which indicate that they're not really seeing where the real issue is. By the way, it just dawns on me, this is kind of like what our preacher last Wednesday talked about, in a way. I guess we needed a double dose, right? Look at verse 1. I'm sure his sermon will be better, but anyway. Verse 1, look what it says. This is what Israel said after they had been sick. Which, by the way, let's talk about that for a second. Look at verse 13. It says, when Ephraim saw his sickness. Well, what was that sickness? It wasn't COVID. It was sin. They were in sin. They were in rebellion. You know, just like one of my kids in particular, two of them sometimes, but one of them in particular, and he knows who he is. Right here in this group right here. He's right here in this group of kids. Okay? And it doesn't matter what I say. I'm issuing a command as dads do. By the way, we're qualified to do that, right, Brother Larry? Yeah. We can say, hey, this is what I want you to do. Here's what they're supposed to say. Yes, sir, Dad. Right. I'm on it already. I knew you were going to say that. I'm already walking that direction. Honestly, the only thing you have to say is just, yes, sir. That's good enough for me. But does that happen? No. There's always some other dialogue that takes place before I say, you know, there's only one thing you need to say. Yes, sir. And then it happens, right? Why did I bring that up? Because that's a little bit what rebellion looks like. So anyway, somebody over here. Might be probably all of the kids right here and really all of us in here. But anyway, that's the sickness of verse 13. It's not, some kind of an illness that they're battling with. No. This is sin, this is rebellion, and the only cure is God. The only way they're going to get this right is God. Now, they weren't wanting to see that because also in verse number 13, look what it says, then went, in the middle of that verse, they Ephraim to the Assyrian. So instead of going to God, we talked about this last time, they went to the Assyrian king for help. Well, he can't help them. Because God is actually going to use the Assyrians as a form of judgment on Israel. So they were going to the enemy for help, but they're not going to find help there. Amen. Well, what does that indicate for you and I? It indicates for you and I that Israel were not seeing what their real problem was, because they're not going to the right source to get it fixed. They're sick, they have sin, they're in rebellion, and they're going to the world to get it fixed. That means they are blind to what their issue is. They're not seeing that they're fighting God. Well, God speaks in verse 15 and says, I will go. You know, it seems to me Now, I'm not going to say this definitively, but it seems to me, and I'm reminded of it right there, that God reached out to us before we reached out to Him. It's not like you woke up one day and then just had this epiphany. I don't even know what that word means, but you know, it's like a thought, I guess. I'm going to seek God today. No, 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 no. God is working in you. If you're seeking Him, it's because He's speaking to you. You see? So He reaches to Israel from heaven in His mercy and in His grace. He says, I'm going to reach out to you to draw and to speak to you and bring you to Me. Well, they respond. Verse number one, and I absolutely love this. It says, Israel says, come, let us return unto the Lord. By the way, you study that out. That word return literally means repent. It just means to turn around, go back the opposite direction you were going, which is repent. So they literally repented and literally turned and went back to God. But in the same sense, spiritually, turning their hearts back to the one who can truly help and make things right. So they're repenting. They're going back to the Lord. Now look what it says they understand about God. It says, He hath torn and He will heal us. What's that mean? And by the way, the last part of that verse, it basically is a reference to the same idea. What is it that God has torn? It means God is the judge. Do you know sometimes in life we face judgment? And our judgment is from God? So the circumstances that we have found ourselves in, sometimes, it's God's judgment on us. By the way, He is just and He is qualified to judge us. But here's what Israel also understood about the just judge. He's also merciful. Because the same one who judges us is the same one who heals us. So He judges, He also heals. What a great understanding. By the way, we need to have that understanding. You'll find yourself under the judging hand of God, but you need to not run from the judgment of God, but embrace the loving, merciful God who is judge, but who also is a merciful, forgiving Heavenly Father. He wants to bring you back to Him. Notated in verse 15 of the last chapter. He wants to bring us back. So there's repentance and there's understanding that God not only is judge, but He is the divine great healer. By the way, He's Jehovah Rapha. I don't remember where that is in the scripture, but it literally means I am that I am. Jehovah, I am that I am. The covenant promise of God, your great healer. That's what Rapha means, your great healer. God is the great healer. But it doesn't just mean He can heal our bodies. And He can heal our bodies. And by the way, we're not out of bounds to pray that God would heal. Because He is able to do that and qualified to do that. But it doesn't, when it says Jehovah Rapha, the great healer, it doesn't just mean He heals us physically. He's capable of that. But it means He can heal us both body, soul, and spirit. He heals our entire being. So Israel would have understood God is not only judge, but He is the great healer. Look what it says next. Verse 2, after 2 days will He revive us. Now why would this even need to be said? He already said we're going to turn to God who can heal us. Now He brings up revival in 2 days. Well, 2 days would represent that it didn't say 2 months. It didn't say 2 years. It just means it's soon. By the way, for you and I, this is a blessing because it means if you are in a problem right now, if you're in a struggle, if you're in a season of life where you're really bearing it. And you know how you know when you're bearing it is because it hurts right here. You know what I mean? And it depends on who you are, but right. Usually for me, it's a little bit on the left side, right there, just a knot. It hurts. Amen. And I feel sick in my stomach because of things. You might have been feeling that way. And if you've not been feeling that way lately, rejoice about it because something's going to come up and you're going to get that thing because it comes and goes, you know. So Israel would have known not only that God can heal them, but he can do it in a quick way. 2 days. That doesn't mean, you know, get right tonight and 2 days from now God will bless you. The implication here is this is soon, it's quick. God is mindful. In fact, when I'm in preaching class, the way that the preacher is to be mindful of how God views what's happening right here, The world does not see this as important, what we're doing right now. Do you know why? Because if they did, unless they have COVID or something, they would be here, right? They don't see this as important. They see doing what they're doing as more important than this. But what about heaven? How does heaven view what's happening right now? The preacher that the instructor that was teaching us about preaching spoke of God brooding over his congregation as a mother hen broods over the chicks whom she loves. And he gathers us in and he broods over us, watching over. It's quite a thought. God pays attention to what's happening in this place. He's watching you as a brooding mother who loves you to protect you and, watch this, to heal you. Israel would have seen that. It's not something you have to wait a long time for. I like how it says revive, verse 2. Revive us. You feel like you need revival sometimes? If you don't, then you need to be revived right now, probably. You know? We need revival. By the way, what's revival mean? It means to come alive. What's the opposite of that? Dead. By the way, Jesus came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He was nailed to a cross and then he died. But what happened 3 days later? He revived. It's interesting that he says the third day, verse 2. Look what it says. In the third day, he will rise us up. It's an obvious image of Christ. That in the third day. Now let's remember, the reason why you and I can have victory and healing is because of Jesus. I mean, he's the one who made the way. He's the one who brings the real healing in our life. So tonight, you're in a fight, you're in a struggle, you're in a conflict, and we're going to talk about why we don't often see that we're actually fighting with God. But here's what God wants to do. He wants to heal us, and we can make that happen today. And the reason why this can happen today is because of Jesus. He paid the price. The door is open. Romans chapter 5, we won't turn there, but 5 verse 1. Because of what Christ sacrificed, his sacrifice, we are justified in him, and there has been peace that has been made with God. You know what that means? Verse 2, that we have instant access to the Father. You can come to God anytime, any moment. You can come to him tonight and speak directly to him. And he'll speak to you, and he'll heal you in your soul. So that's a blessing. I love that. Verse number 2. Now, verse 3. Look at this, because this is where we're going to get the meat of our point tonight. The first phrase especially, verse 3. Don't miss this. Then shall we know. Now, I read that. I did not really comprehend how that phrase fit in what Hosea is talking about and what Israel is declaring right there. But what that is saying is Israel, in this repentance, because God's going to bring revival, restoration in their life, which he can do for us. But this whole process, watch, don't let me lose you here. The whole process of this restoration and reviving starts because of that phrase. Then shall we know. Here's what it means. It means, in this instance, God, I will acknowledge that I need you. Then shall we know is a declaration of Israel saying, I know that I need you. Amen. Ooh, that is such a powerful thought. Because of that acknowledgement, that admonition right there, here's what it says next. If we follow on to know the Lord. So because of the acknowledgement, there is also an acknowledgement of turning to God and following him. Okay, so what happens when we decide that? Decide what? Decide that the actual fight Israel is having is not with their circumstances or with people, but they're actually fighting with God. And they acknowledge that. They decided, I'm going to know that this is my issue. I'm going to, in repentance, turn to you. I'm going to follow you. That's what repentance does. You not follow the world or the other way you've been going. But now, because you've repented, you're going to follow God. Why? Because you've acknowledged that this is the fight that's going on. Here's what Israel understands and you and I need to put our foot on with confidence. The last part of that verse. Look what it says. His going forth is prepared as the morning. Do you see that? That's what happens in Israel. That's the promise of what's going to happen in Israel because they repented, acknowledged that they've been fighting God. Well, what is that? Here's what he's saying. He's saying the blessing, the restoration that I've been talking about, it's as sure in your life as the sunrise. Is the sun going to come up tomorrow? Yeah, I mean, it's been doing it for a long time now. So at about 7 something. It surprises me how late the sun comes up anyway. But I feel like, anyway. So the sun comes up. I mean, it's been doing that every day. As sure as that is as sure as God's restoration and blessings and peace in your life. So you fall, you repent, you decide to acknowledge, I've been fighting God, I'm ready to repent and turn to Him. Then, and by the way, His blessings are instant in a sense that you don't have to wait. You'll be blessed. And here's how sure His blessings are and His peace is. It's as sure as the sun's coming up tomorrow. That's quite confidence. But it requires us to do something important. In fact, it's something that we struggle with sometimes. Amen. That we're actually fighting with God. Because, like I said in the beginning, sometimes we will admit that we're fighting with people. And we'll admit that we're fighting with our circumstances. But we don't often want to acknowledge that it could be that we're fighting against God. Remember the Apostle Paul before he became the Apostle Paul? I won't have you turn there to save a little bit of time here. But in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says of Saul that he was on a mission to destroy, kill as many Christians as possible. Do you remember what it said that he was doing? It says he was breathing out threatenings and, does anybody remember the next word?
Slaughter.
He was breathing, threatening. It means that he was very passionate about this mission that he had either been given by his authorities or he gave him himself, that he is going to go on this conquest to destroy as many Christians as he can because he hates Jesus and he hates the Jesus, what Jesus represents. And he's going to destroy them and he's passionate, so passionate that it says he breathes threatenings and slaughter. Now, tell me if this is right. Those of you who are going to recall this verse, I'm going to say it. Tell me if I did it right. Saul breathes out threatening and slaughter against God. Is that what it says? No, no, no. What does it say? It says, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul breathed out threatenings of slaughter and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Do you know what Saul saw his problem as? Not God. He saw his problem as people. The disciples. They were the problem. Those pesky disciples, they're the problem. But you know what you'll find? That he meets Jesus. And in that encounter, Jesus said something telling. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou
me?
Saul thought his problem was people. God says, "You no, no, no. You're not fighting people. You're fighting people, but that's not who you're really fighting. You're fighting me." We do that. We fight in life. We have struggles. And we get frustrated with people. But you know your frustrations with those people that you're frustrated with or those circumstances that are really frustrating you? Do you know what they almost always indicate about who we're really fighting? It's not those circumstances and it's not those people. It's God. But often we're like Saul and we don't admit that. We want it to be the people. We want it to be the circumstances because we can feel justified in fighting those battles. I'm going to finish with this thought tonight. I read this story about a man who is a businessman. I always thought it would be neat to start a business, you know. And then I became pastor. I'm doing exactly what God wants, but also what I want to do. I wouldn't trade this for anything. Wouldn't at all. I have in past times, though, been interested in what would it be like to start a business. Read a story about a businessman, started his business. I mean, if we're talking from the ground up, God is facility, and he was getting everything in order. Got his office in order where he's going to meet the clients, and he gets everything just how he wants it. Because, you know, whenever you're starting a business, there's a lot of things that matter, not just in the paperwork side, but also in the, you know, if you're physically dealing with clients, you want to make sure that things look a certain way and you have a certain kind of image. So he's working on all of that. And it really matters to him how everything looks. And he's got, you know, like just everything, you know, he's got the suit. I mean, it's just everything is right. His first day, he's got everything organized, turns on the open, you know, he's still, again, getting used to the facility and everything. He has his first client walk through the door. Ding, comes in. He immediately gets excited, picks up the phone, starts acting like he's talking to the president. Just has the client comes in. He's wanting to impress, of course. So he's having this conversation with the president. You know, the president really needed some help. So he was telling him how to do these things and how to fix this issue he was having. He talked for him. And the client stood at the foot of the desk for a while waiting for this conversation to be over. Finally, he hung up the phone and said, "Oh, man, thank you for your patience. The president really needed my help on that one. So what can I do for you?" The client looked at him and said, "I'm here to hook up your phone lines." Ooh. That hurts. You know what I think we often do sometimes? We're like that employee. We pretend. And I'm glad that we're faithful, because we need to be faithful. But you know what we can be sometimes? Good pretenders. We can be good pretenders. Because we don't want to admit that we're actually fighting with God. We have struggles. We have problems. We want it to be people. We want it to be circumstances. But our real issue is we're fighting with God. Do you know what the real issue? Let me say it this way. You know what the real issue is? Is the phone line is it's not up between you and God. The phone line is damaged. So what do we need to do? We need to repent. We need to repent. There's no real other thing that, there's no other answer. But to repent, you have to admit that you've been fighting with God. If that's the case, there will be no repentance, because you'll just make excuses. You'll make your fight something that it isn't. You'll declare, "This is my issue, and I just need the circumstance to be better. You know, this person is the issue. This person needs to either be dealt with or cut out of the thing. They just need to be deleted, and then the issue will be gone." But that's, you know, I'm not going to minimize that sometimes there's things like that that actually are issues, but often those aren't the issues at all. The real issue is we've been fighting with God because of our self-sufficiency and our pride. Ooh, man, I could do whole sermons on those two things. I won't. Don't get nervous. But our self-sufficiency, I don't need God. Our pride, not willing to admit that we've been doing it our way. And we've been fighting against God. And we have struggles. Listen, there's judgments that are there. There's that sickness. There's the turmoil. It's there. And it could be that we're experiencing these trials because we've been fighting against God. But there's healing that's available tonight. It requires you to admit you've been fighting Him. And then it requires you to repent. And if you're willing to do that, you can be like Israel, who knows that God not only is the just judge, but He's also the faithful healer. And you can get that tonight because of Jesus. And then lastly, you can know with absolute 100% confidence, just as sure as the sun is coming up tomorrow, that you'll find peace. restoration. So my prayer tonight is you'll be willing to do that. Amen. Admit. Just let's start right there. Admit that it might be that your fight is with God. Father, I pray that you guide us tonight to get this right if it is an issue in our life. Now, God, there's a variety of things, and I acknowledge that, that could be in our life by way of different kinds of issues, which doesn't always indicate that we're fighting with you, but often, the struggles and the fights that we experience in life are not a people or a circumstance, but they are often because we've been fighting against you, and it might be that we just haven't been willing to admit that. Pray that you'd give us strength to do that tonight first, and then to repent and seek your forgiveness. We'll give you glory as you do that work in us. Bring peace as you've promised, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.